People ask me, what is your favorite passage? It is in the Psalms. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Over 5 weeks ago, I stepped into the San Jose, California airport and headed toward Warren, Ohio, and a great church, powerful Assemblies of God Church, for their summer indoor camp meeting. After a week, I flew into San Diego to meet 100 degrees of blast. I thought Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego had just left the furnace and would fellowship with me. Monday, I went to Santa Ana and Channel 38 for television. Then into Melodyland to preach in that great church in Anaheim. And then the General Council. And from the General Council to Lester Summerall's great indoor camp meeting in South Bend, Indiana. Wall-to-wall people. And then into Windsor, Ontario, Canada, across from Detroit. And from there to PTL. And from there into Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I spoke to the State Convention of the Full Gospel Businessmen last night and this morning. And now in Duncan. I would not hope to convince you either of my honesty or diplomacy that of all these places I have wanted to come to Duncan to see after 14 years who you are and what you are. I just wanted to come to Duncan. I can't explain that, and don't take it as some special reward from heaven. It's just a fact. I feel lifted to be in your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to have a biggie. A biggie tomorrow night in the Revelation. Book 66 in the Revelation. Tomorrow night. Keep that in mind. Tonight, we will look at a whodunit, a mystery. There are mysteries in the Bible. And one of the biggest mysteries, no longer a mystery, but for hundreds and hundreds of years, a mystery. Was us. Nobody from Adam to Malachi knew there would be a church. Nobody. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, knew more about the second coming than Pat Robertson. But he didn't know about us. Samuel didn't know. Gideon didn't know. Isaiah didn't know. Your Old Testament is an Israeli Bible. And as far as the Israelis knew, God's plan started and finished with them. But God had a secret. Us! So Paul tells the Europeans, those things which were hidden, H-I-D-D-E-N, those things which were hidden to men of past ages have now been made manifest. You see, the devil didn't know there was to be a church. He thought when he twisted Israel, so they shouted in rebellion, away with him, crucify him. Give us Caesar. That Israel was finished, and so was God. But God had a secret weapon, the church. So tonight, our interest and our study and our pleasure move around these simple questions. Why did God hide it? Where did he hide it? How did he hide it? Well, you must start with Acts 2:23, and you should turn to that. You must look at Acts 2:23. I'm always looking at the Bible. And in that verse you have the words, the determinate counsel. Put a little circle around that phrase, the determinate counsel. It simply means a council, a committee where things are determined. You say, can you put that in plain vanilla? So easy, 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 easy. See, in a year's time, I lecture on university campuses. So I will say to these ladies and gentlemen, every horse on earth gets up front feet first. They're no mavericks. Quarter horses in Oklahoma get up that way. Race horses in Maryland get up that way. Russian horses get up that way. Who made that decision, honey? Xerox? Eastman Kodak? Gulf Oil? Phillips? Until you can come up with a better tag, I'm going to say God made that decision. He's the umpire behind home plate. You may not like his calls, but he is final. Remember when I was just a youngster, there was a great umpire by the name of Bill Clem, K-L-E-M, umpired in the National League. And a hitter grew angry with Mr. Clem's call and flipped his bat in the air. And Mr. Clem, without removing his mask or raising his voice, said, sir, if that bat comes down, you're out of the game. It's as final as that. Now, every cow on earth gets up back feet first. Holstein, Jersey, Brahma, Whiteface. Who made that decision? Cows in Argentina? cows in Canada. God made that decision. Yeah. You know how an elephant gets up? All feet at once, because it's a tractor trailer job. So many of you fellas are acquainted with these 16 wheel loads. Every ear of corn adds the rolls to an even number. Every striped watermelon adds the rolls to an even number, the stripes. It isn't difficult, honey. You don't need to go to graduate school. You don't need to be a seminarian. Just ask your overeducated son who made those decisions. God. So I've said that to say this. The church is God's idea. It isn't the idea of the Assemblies of God. I love the Assemblies. I pay dues. I'm a working member. I've been with them over half a century. But the church was not Springfield's idea. Nor is it Nashville's. God's idea. Jesus was not an emergency, honey. Jesus was a contingency. He was slain from the foundation. God didn't have to call a quick committee meeting. There's no panic with our Heavenly Father. He has you in view tonight. So don't tear up your house when you go home. Say a short prayer. I say a very short prayer at night. Oh, a terribly short prayer at night. I say, God, since you're going to stay up the rest of the night, there's no sense of the two of us staying up. I'm going to go to bed. Hallelujah. Now, where did God hide this? Well, you learned something. And perhaps your pastor, a very, very fine man, has taught you already. God's favorite hiding place is Genesis. God hides his plans in Genesis. Now, I train a lot of young preachers, and there's a subject called homiletics. It's a big word with a simple meaning. It means a game plan. It means that when someone like myself stands or sits in your presence, if he doesn't know where he's going, God help the audience. And a good sermon, the classic sermon, has 3 points. It's like baseball. Now you watch your pastor Sunday morning. You get to first base as quickly as you can, then run toward second, get to third, and get home as quickly as you can. That's good preaching. And since God is a classicist, he hid the idea of the church. All that we know tonight in Duncan, Oklahoma, all that we sing in our psalm books, all you hear from the pulpit, he hid it in 3 of his friends. Now open your Bible to Genesis. Everybody open his or her Bible to Genesis. And we will start with friend number 1, Enoch, E-N-O-C-H, Enoch. I'll give you a little help. You'll find him before chapter 12. That's all I'm going to help you. Enoch. What do we know about Enoch? Number 1, he had a son called Methuselah. And Methuselah really means when he is gone, it will happen. God is in the sign business, like the Oklahoma State Highway Department. Brief and to the point. School, curve. God posts signs. And he posted a living sign. He said, when this man is gone, it will happen. What? The end. But you see, he lived on and on and on. 969 years. That's a long time. So after 300 years, the churches all stopped the Sunday night service. After 600 years, they only went Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day. By 900 years, there was only one evangelical evangelistic family on this planet, Noah. Why? Well, you read the cause in Peter. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the beginning. Jesus is not coming, our grandparents sang in the twinkling of an eye. But here we are in 1983, and Reagan has reduced the inflation, and it becomes what else do we know? We know two four-letter words. Number one, W-A-L-K, Enoch walked with God. Now, honey, that's exactly like a sea diver. If he does not have a connection above, the best suit, the best harness, the best diving bell are useless. He will perish. And you and I in the Assemblies of God need a constant flow from above. You cannot live on church suppers. You cannot live on these new gymnasiums. You cannot live on watermelon splittings. Yes, you cannot live on chocolate bar sales. Man cannot live by bread alone. I don't care whether you're in the church. There's a great difference between life and existence. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Do you know whether you're alive or not? Well, you say, I'm marked present for Sunday school. That's no sign you're alive. You could be more dead than that Catholic neighbor of yours. Dead in ritual. Dead in Assemblies of God form. Second, T as in Tom, O-O-K. God took him. It wasn't a committee, honey. It wasn't Billy Graham or Jim Baker or C.M. Ward. If God doesn't take you, of course you'll stay behind. See? I don't know whether you check this out at night before you get into bed. Because God could take you from the inner spring mattress. Hallelujah. I love that old Tennessee gospel song, I'm in his hands. I have this confidence that whether I'm in the Holiday Inn at Duncan or I'm at home in California, God can and will take me. Now, let's move to second base. Turn toward Exodus and find a friend called Lot, L-O-T, Lot. This will shake you. Now, Lot is the most abused and misunderstood of all God's friends. No one has a nice thing to say about Lot. Praise is heaped upon his uncle Abraham, but Lot seems to have been a lost cause. I'm not going to help you any more than this, but turn to 2 Peter now, chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Keep your finger in Genesis and look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and the pastor is going to stand and read us what God says about Lot. Do you see it there, Reverend? Yes. Turn towards your wonderful congregation and help them as you read.
Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just.
Oh, now let's check this out. What kind of a man was he?
Just.
Put a little circle around that. God says he was a just man. Yes. What kind of a man was he? A righteous man. Put a little circle around that word righteous. Lot was a just, righteous man because God says so. All right, finish it, please, Pastor. Yes, thank you. Now, there are wonderful lessons for us today. Abram and Lot, uncle and nephew, shared the same talent. They were money makers. They would have done well in Oklahoma. And it is not a sin to make money. It's a sin to be a failure. Abram was more inclined to be a rancher, to run herds of cattle. But Lot was inclined toward the cities, to make profit in the cities. Now, it's an old, old poem, the Scot. Some take the high road, some take the low road, see? And Lot is not condemned because he went toward the cities. I want to drop proof immediately, if you will hear me. There came a moment when Uncle Abram had a prayer meeting that's recorded, a greater prayer meeting that's ever been held in the state of Oklahoma. He got down to business with God because he realized, finally, that people are more important than sheep and cows, than oil derricks and bank accounts, and that thousands of people were going to an eternal hell unless he could do something. And now you know he was a Jew because he got God down to 10%. And God agreed, if we can find 10 righteous people, sir, we will save the cities. That was Abraham. He was up there in lofty highlands with his altars and sacrifices, but suddenly under that oak tree, he got down to business with God. It simply stirs me. I felt kinship with your pastor as he asked the leaders of this church again to lay hands upon this box of prayer lists. Oh, God loves you folk for again getting under the burden of this community and saying, as Abraham said, oh, God, save the souls of this neighborhood. Now, you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Lot ran for mayor. It is called sitting in the gate of the city. and he won the election. Now, he could not have won that election without the help of the gays. Was he a gay? No, he hated it. Your pastor read it. Every day he vexed his righteous soul with their unlawful, filthy deeds. He hated the society of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he became the mayor. What I'm trying to say, honey, is you and I need to get off this predicate that we have certain ideas born in Assemblies of God culture that unless God does it our way, it cannot be done. God loves Lot as much as he loves Abraham. Now, that final night, when two men from space come from that committee, the committee we noted in Acts 2:23, the determinate council, and they say, Mr. Mayor, there's an irrevocable decision upstairs. These cities must be placed to the torch. Burn! But now I want you to remember a beautiful thing and never, never, never forget it. I may never come your way again. I hope so, but I may never. Those men from space, those angels said to Lot, we can do nothing, Mr. Mayor, until you be taken out of the way. We've got to escort you to safety before we place these cities in the torch. Now you see, we all expect the friend of God, Abraham. But for Lot down there, elected by the gays to be mayor of Sodom and Gomorrah and vexing his righteous soul and sitting in the gate of the city, we would say, how hopeless. He'll never, never, never make it, but he did. I want to encourage you tonight. A lot of your relatives have a ticket for the rapture. And you don't know it. Just because you have an uncle that's a Southern Baptist who has never spoken in unknown language and never has danced in the aisle and never raised his hand and shouted hallelujah, it doesn't mean that you won't meet him in the skies. Hallelujah! My mama taught me this. My mother was a German Mennonite. She said there'll be three surprises in heaven. Number one, the people that aren't there that you knew would be there. Number two, the people that are there that you were sure wouldn't be there. And number three, that you're there. And she taught me these wonderful lines as a teenager. She said, there is so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the best of us, that it ill behooves any of us to be tough on the rest of us. Why don't we leave decisions in God's hands? And quit going around and saying, I don't think you'll make it, I'm sure you won't make it. That's God's decision. And God said, Lot is just as much my friend as his uncle Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? Perhaps there are people in this assembly very quiet, extremely quiet. They're just as much the friends of God as some of you over here that shout and lift your hands and stand. Do you know that God has quiet friends? Yes. And thank God he's got noisy friends. And thank God he's got black friends. And thank God he's got fat friends. And skinny friends. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the roll is called up yonder, there will be a multitude. Ooh, praise God. Are you enjoying this? Oh, you better come tomorrow night. That's the biggie. Now let's go to third base. And turn your Bibles now to another friend of God, Isaac.
Oh,
And belch it. She's son.
Thank you.
That's the only blessing. Used the ABC network and scores of other stations.
They want lots of trouble. All that distant ballparks, distant city auditoriums, a brand in Milwaukee, which did bad for my pitching tapes and came up with the best to see in the world. But certainly, an end season. And last, any new auditorium to the platform.